RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host,
let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. It's been a soggy weekend here in Western New York and other parts of the Northeast, and not a whole lot of racing going on, at least locally. But we'll talk about something this morning. Phone lines are open for you here this morning at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Of course, this is an off weekend for the Sprint Cup Series. They are back in action this Saturday night at the Bristol Motor Speedway for the annual night race at Bristol, and hopefully a refurbished Bristol Motor Speedway. We'll talk more about that later on in this program. But the Xfinity Series in action yesterday at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Complex. And speaking of soggy, if you didn't see the race, they got a lot of rain, too. Much of the rain that hit our area yesterday also went right through the part of Ohio where the Mid-Ohio race course is. And they raced in the rain yesterday. They slapped the Goodyear rain tires on, and they slapped the windshield wipers on, and tried to duke it out for yesterday's race. And it was an interesting one, to say the least. A lot of off-track action, a lot of rooster tails, and just kind of a mess, but fun to watch as an anomaly, I guess, that we're used to seeing. And Justin Marks picked up the win yesterday for his first career Xfinity Series victory. We'll talk more about this later on in today's program, because joining us is Xfinity Series driver Ryan Preece, who's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. He had a good day at times yesterday, finished 17th, but he was running as high up as the top five at points during the race yesterday. So we'll get Ryan's perspective on Mid-Ohio. We'll also talk to Ryan because this coming Saturday, as long as he gets out of Bristol Friday night, as long as they get the Xfinity race in at Bristol on Friday, he'll be at Lancaster Speedway this Saturday night competing in the Tommy Drewer Tony Jankowiak Memorial Modified 110 for the Race of Champions Modified Series. So Ryan will be in the field driving, I believe, the Booker Motorsports entry, and Ryan will make his Lancaster debut this Saturday night, so we'll talk to Ryan about that as well. Ryan, a former NASCAR Wheeling Modified Tour champion, numerous modified victories in his career before making the jump up to the Xfinity Series full-time this year, driving for JD Motorsports in the 01 car. Also joining us on today's program, about 10 minutes or so, busy time at the Oswego Speedway coming up over the next month and a half or so. And to get us revved up, we're going to talk to Danny Kapuscinski from the Oswego Speedway. They've got huge events coming up in the months of September and October. They've got their annual International Classic Weekend for the Super Modifieds, which also features a visit from the NASCAR Wheeling Modified Tour. They've got the Race of Champions coming back to Oswego after a year away, which will be a 250-lap race for the Race of Champions Modifieds. And as we've talked about in the past here this season on the program, Super Dirt Week is coming to the Oswego Speedway. So it is going to be nuts in Oswego come this fall. And we'll talk to Danny Kapuscinski from the Steel Palace as they prepare to host three of the biggest racing weekends, not only in New York State, not only in the Northeast, but when it comes to short track racing, three of the biggest weekends in racing in America, you could say, as they are three huge events on the short track calendar. But phone lines are open here right off the bat, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. You can also tweet us. We're at FastTrack550. That's at FastTrack550. If you want to send us a tweet, give us a follow, all that good stuff. Also, we're on Facebook, too. Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack is our Facebook page if you want to give us a like. Post your comments. We're always posting there from time to time. And I love to take the conversation too, to social media as well when we're not on the air here on WGR, because we only have a few shows left. As Brayton pointed out in his update, the Bills kicked off the preseason yesterday. So football season, the regular season right around the corner. And you know what that means. When the Bills hit the field, we hit the bricks, because Sunday mornings get rather busy here on WGR. So we've only got a few more shows to go. I think we're down to three shows after today, if I'm counting in my head correctly. We got 21st, 28th, and then September 4th, because September 11th, I believe, is opening day for the Bills. So we've got three shows after today, so enjoy it while you can. Although, hopefully we'll make a few fall appearances, depending on the Bills' schedule. I haven't looked that far in advance to see if we'll have any Chase editions of Fast Track coming up this fall. But again, phone lines open here, 803-0551, 888-552-550. Of course, coming off huge weekend last weekend, Watkins Glen International. If you were at Watkins Glen last weekend, I'd love to hear from you as well here this morning. A huge rousing success for Michael Princip and the folks at the Glen. Another grandstand sellout. I saw reports, saw a story during the week. They actually had traffic problems on Saturday for the Xfinity Series race, which is something they've never really dealt with before, that they had such a huge, such a big crowd for the Saturday race, that they actually had some traffic problems, and something they're not used to having. So a great successful weekend at the Glen, and Denny Hamlin got the win, another win this year for the 11 Bunch. As Denny Hamlin picked up the win, I thought my prediction was going to come true. I thought Brad was going to pull it out, and he was leading there late. But those last few restarts, unfortunately, he took him out of contention to win. He still pulled a good top five finish, and Denny Hamlin got the victory. But no wins for any drivers that have yet to win this year. AJ Allmendinger didn't get the win. He's still not sewn up a chase spot, and anybody else that was looking to steal a win last weekend at Watkins Glen didn't take advantage of it. But another great race and another great weekend at Watkins Glen International. And when you look at the month of August on the NASCAR calendar, it's almost one of the most fun months on the NASCAR calendar, I think, because we get some of the best races of the year. If you look at both Sprint Cup and the Xfinity Series and even the Truck Series, August is some of the best races of the year on it. You've got the Glen. We had the Glen weekend last weekend for Cup and Xfinity. This weekend in Mid-Ohio, another road course race. And again, road course racing has become so much fun when it's come to the NASCAR's major circuits, because, and then you throw in yesterday with the rain and everything, that just cranked it up a notch. Now, this next week, this coming weekend, going to Bristol, you've got Trucks, Xfinity, Cup, and Modifieds at Bristol next weekend. And then the week after that, the Xfinity Series back on a road course at Road America. I mean, these Xfinity teams are probably, they're going to be worn out from turning left and right by the time the month of August is done. As you got Mid-Ohio, Glen, you've got Bristol, which, well, sometimes you might need to turn right at Bristol, and then you go to Road America. These guys are probably going to have a lot of equipment torn up by the time they get done with this month. But it's probably, for a fan, it's maybe one of the most fun months of the year. You don't have any mile and a half tracks to kind of put you to sleep, and no real snooze fest of a race. I mean, the Cup Series does go to Michigan at the end of the month, which, you know, it was a little bit better this year with the lower downforce package, but that could be a little bit of a less exciting race compared to the Glen or Bristol. But still, I think the month of August might be one of the most strongest months on the NASCAR calendar for excitement. And that leads to the discussion, of course, whenever you talk about road course races. It seems like now every time any series goes to road course, the talk of should a road course be in the chase comes up. And we heard a lot about it again this week coming out of Watkins Glen, and how interesting the racing is, and how refreshing it is just to have an exciting race from almost start to finish compared to what we get at some of the tracks that are on the chase part of the schedule, some of the mile and a half tracks that don't lend to as an exciting product. And the problem is kind of the schedule is set in stone here for the next few years in NASCAR, with the way the NASCAR has signed these five-year agreements with all its tracks on the three major series, the schedule's kind of locked in stone. So this discussion, fortunately, is more of a hypothetical situation. If you could change the schedule, excuse me, if you could change the schedule NASCAR's three major series, what would you take Sonoma or Watkins Glen? Would you move it into a Chase, or is there a third road course that you would love to add to the Chase? I don't think Sonoma or Watkins Glen really would want to move their race weekends. I think we've asked Michael Prince up about that in the past, and he kind of likes where they are in the schedule in August. You talk about September and October in New York, upstate New York. You know, you could get 80 degrees, you could get 40 in rain. If you get into October, you could get lake effect snow. So once you get into the fall here, the weather can be kind of a crapshoot. So obviously that's something that the folks at the Glen don't want to deal with any more so than they do in August. I mean, they've had rain issues in the past. They don't want to, you know, go through what the folks at Pocono did a couple of weeks ago, you know, having to run on a Monday. So obviously I don't know if they would want to even move their cup date for the month of August to the month of September. So what kind of venue would you, a race course, would you want to put into the Chase? And again, phone lines are open here this morning, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Two road courses that are on the Xfinity schedule that aren't on the Cup Series schedule obviously probably lead the list of candidates. A track like Mid-Ohio and Road America and Elkhart Lake, two of the most iconic road courses in America. They're right up there with places like Watkins Glen and Sebring and Road Atlanta, some of the most iconic road courses in the country. So obviously they would be on the top of the list. Also, there's always a possibility. Another one that always comes up is the Circuit of the Americas down in Austin, where Formula One races. That might be a little bit harder because I think the track was designed specifically for F1 in mind. That putting stock cars on that track might not be as exciting as some of the other road courses that you could send the Cup Series to in the fall. But obviously, being in Texas, weather could be optimal. You know, you won't have to worry about it cold, obviously. You know, the Cup Series runs Texas Motor Speedway in November, of course. So that's another option there. But there are lots of fun hypothetical possibilities to think about when you talk about putting a road course in the Chase. Some that are against this point will argue that road courses are only two out of the 36 races on the Sprint Cup schedule. And to put a road course into the Chase, the final 10 races of the year, that Brayden, am I having microphone problems, or is that just in my headphones? Okay, I keeps cutting out my headphones. I apologize. Moving on, that the folks that are against moving the road course races into the Chase, it's not proportional to the schedule. You know, it's only two out of 36, and you want to put one out of the 10 Chase races and put that on a road course. That's one of the arguments for folks that are against moving a road course into the Chase. That's one of the things they bring up, that it wouldn't be proportional to the schedule. But obviously, I think that you're trying to put the most exciting product as possible you can. When you get into the fall, you're going up against obviously the NFL, so you're trying to do what you can ratings wise. You want to try and put the most exciting product out that you can, and to put it on a road course might be a little more attention grabbing than, say, another race at Kansas or Chicagoland or anything like that. Another interesting possibility for road course, and John Oriovitz, who we've had on the show a bunch of times, he's been bringing up, especially coming out of the Indianapolis, the Brickyard 400 earlier this month or late July, is have the Brickyard 400 not be run on the oval at Indianapolis, but run it on the road course there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the same road course that Formula One used, the Superbikes used, and now the IndyCar Series uses as the kickoff kind of to the whole month of May at Indianapolis, is put the Cup cars on the road course. And that might be a little bit more exciting than the stock cars on the oval at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It certainly are both another interesting possibility. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. But we'll, you know, go with what we have on the schedule, and just a few more races left on the Sprint Cup Series regular season before we get into the Chase And it should be an exciting finish, to say the least, as after Bristol, they go to Michigan, and then we have Darlington Labor Day weekend, and then Richmond, of course, to close out the regular season. So just four races left in the regular season for the Spring Cup Series. By the way, big change atop of the points, and again, not that it really matters because of the chase, but Brad Keselowski left the Glen with the series points lead. He is now 9 up on Kevin Harvick. The Busch brothers are 3rd and 4th with Kurt and Kyle. Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, then Truex, Kenseth, and Johnson are your top 10. And I really don't think you're going to see much of a shakeup in the chase standings from these final four races. I think if anybody's going to bump their way into the chase at this point, I think it's going to be someone winning outside of the top 16 that sneaks their way into the chase. And I don't think that anybody, the way the points are, I think the people that are in on points right now, I think they're going to stay that way outside of anybody missing a race or two. Let's go to the AT&T hotline, though, and let's bring in from the Oswego Speedway, Danny Kapuscinski joins us. Danny, it's Dave here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
No problem. I think busy might be just underestimating just what is going on at the Oswego Speedway these days, I bet.
Yeah, no kidding. We've had quite a few big announcements here in the last few weeks, and of course we're getting ready for probably the biggest fall stretch, about 6 weeks of racing that the Speedway's ever seen, with, of course, Budweiser Classic Weekend on Labor Day weekend. We come back 2 weeks later with the big Race of Champions, a 250-lap modified race on that weekend, and then we'll put the clay on right after ROC and do Super Dirt Week. So it's going to be a wild few weeks for us.
Let's start with talking about Classic Weekend. That comes up Labor Day weekend. Obviously, the big centerpiece of the Oswego Speedway schedule, this as it's always been. But this year got a whole lot more exciting because you have also added the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour, which returns to the Steel Palace for the first time in, I think, 25, maybe even 30 years. And that is making that Saturday show look a whole lot of fun. You got the Wheel and Mods, and you got the International Super Modified Association, the Wing Super Modifieds, taking up the Saturday portion of Classic Weekend. That is going to be a great show on its own.
Yeah, it's the first time in actually 27 years since the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour has been to Oswego. So it's really a perfect way to really ramp up that weekend and really continue to make it one of the marquee open-wheel pavement racing weekends in all of the country. So that Saturday program is going to be, like you said, absolutely fantastic with the ISMA Supers and the NASCAR Modified. It's been great working with the folks at NASCAR, Jimmy Wilson, and everybody else, and we're really excited to have a very solid field of tour drivers coming in. We talk about it's been so long since they've been to Oswego, but it's been, I think, around 10 years since they've even been to the state of New York. So I know there's a lot of pavement modified fans out in Western New York, and we hope to see you all at Oswego Classic Weekend.
Yeah, outside of Riverhead Raceway, the series hasn't visited New York, you're right, probably since 04, 05, either at Holland or Spencer. It has been a while. And that series has really kind of become almost a New England exclusive series. So, I mean, you're going to get a bunch of drivers that it's almost going to be like a neutral site for the NASCAR guys when they come to town.
Yeah, essentially. And the exciting thing about that is, too, with it being, like you said, kind of more of a New England tour now, it's going to bring more New England fans and drivers to the Speedway. Actually, Bobby Santos and Ronnie Silk have actually already filed entries for the Super Modified portion of Classic Weekend on Sunday. So that adds another little exciting twist to the weekend. So it's a great way to bring, really essentially all of our Super Modified fans and all the Modified fans to one place on one weekend. Obviously it's the only place you can see all of these divisions racing in one weekend, so we're really excited for it.
Now, in your conversations with NASCAR, you're not a weekly series track, so they're familiar with the facility on its name in the country, but did they come around and they give you a checklist like you guys need to do these things before we come to town, or has it just been they kind of trust you and know that you guys are going to have a good facility for them when they come?
Really, it was a very seamless process, dating all the way back to about, I think it was around November. Actually, we kind of started the process in about October, and by December we had kind of inked everything up. Jimmy and the guys actually didn't come visit the Speedway until after we had already signed the deal.
Okay.
They know Oswego and its history and, mm-hmm. Our safety crew and all the fine amenities that we have, for our Speedway. So it was a great process. It was very easy, and we're excited to have it happen.
And then, of course, Sunday will be, the big day with the International Classic 200 for the Super Modifieds and also the Small Block Super Modified Classic. And Danny simply put, this is just one of the biggest short track races on the American racing calendar. People know about this race from across the country, and it brings in a wide array of talent.
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, we're fortunate this year, to have the rate of talent that we're having coming in between a Bobby Santos and a Ronnie Silk. But then you've got, you know, obviously Davey Hamilton and his son also, Davey Hamilton Jr., who's been winning wing sprint car races on pavement like wildfire in the Midwest and on the West Coast. But then, of course, our Oswego regulars and, you know, Otto Sitterly, Mike Barnes, Joe Gosick. We're going to have probably 35 to 36 entries for that race. And we'll put 34 cars on the starting line for over $100,000 in prizes and cash. So it's going to be a big day. It's the 60th running of the Classic. So certainly a nice anniversary event and a good way to, kind of wind up our Oswego weekly season before we do Race of Champions 2 weeks later.
And that's what I was going to get to next. And after a year away, it's only fitting that the Race of Champions weekend comes back to the Steel Palace. I love this event so much, you know that. And to have the modifieds back at Oswego, and now to do 250 laps, this race is going to be even bigger this year in its return to Oswego Speedway.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I really missed that race not happening at Oswego last season. Was hoping, right from the get-go that we could, really get together with Joe Scott and Nicky and make it work to bring the event back. And I'm so glad that we've been able to do that. It adds to sort of a triple crown of events that we're going to have at the Speedway in the fall. And 250 laps at Oswego is kind of unheard of for people my age,
generation.
We've never seen a race there that long. So it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds for that show.
And even the sportsman race on Friday night, I mean, our sportsman counts up here in Western New York with Lancaster and other tracks in our area. I mean, you're going to have maybe 40, 50 cars show up on Friday for this 100-lap sportsman race, too.
Yeah, for sure. I always love watching that division take on Oswego. It's a great group of guys and a great group of racers and teams. And in talking to Joe this week, he's also going to be adding our small block super division into the schedule as well. I don't think they've finalize exactly all the details as to which day that event's going to take place, but our own Pathfinder Bank small block supers are going to be on the card as well, so that'll add a nice local tie for our fans and drivers. So really excited. It's one of those races that everybody gears up for, and I'm glad it's going to be back at Steel Palace.
And then, of course, you'll have to then turn things over to the folks at World Racing Group for Super Dirt Week, as they'll start bringing the truckloads of clay in to start covering the 5/8 mile oval. From the Speedway standpoint, obviously, you're not just handing the keys over to Chris Carter and Brian Carter and everybody and say, here you go, have fun, guys. But you guys are doing a lot at the track just to make things better for the fans coming in as well, too.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work already underway. We have 10 sections of our rear grandstand that typically we only use 4 of those for Classic Weekend, but we've already begun the process of stripping down the other 6 sections. We're going to start completely refurbishing those grandstands so that we can use the entire, just around 7,000 seats in that back grandstand for Super Dirt Week, which will be really fun to see, and the guys are doing a great job of getting that started. We already also have everything in play to get the 121 electric camping spaces installed at the bottom of the Albany Street Hill as well, which will be a nice new thing for all of our fans to use year-round. We've got our new digital video screen on order. That's going to be coming in a couple of weeks. We should have that installed by Classic Weekend. So it's been nonstop. There's just all kinds of action going on at the Speedway, and it's really an exciting time, not only for Oswego Speedway race fans, but the city of Oswego also. It's going to be a huge economic boost for our area to have Super Dirt Week coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, on top of the money that the area gets from your other events like Classic and Race of Champions weekend, the economic impact for Oswego is astonishing. I think that's underestimated for those that aren't involved in the sport. I wish I had the number in front of me that Michael Printup gave for the impact that Watkins Glen NASCAR weekend brings to that area. But events like the ones you have at Oswego and the U.S. Open at Lancaster and other events around the state, these events do bring in people. They stay for the weekend and they spend money while they're in town.
Yeah, they certainly do. The hotels in the Oswego area have already filled up, if not very close to filled up, for all 3 of those weekends. All of the local shops and the restaurants they're all jazzed up and ready to go. Everybody's really working together to come together and make these 3 weekends as big as they can absolutely be for the city and Oswego County in general.
Well, Danny, by the way, I did get a text. It sounds like Saturday for the small block super modifieds for Race of Champions. I just got that on the hotline here, just fresh off the wire.
That's great. Put the small block supers on tap with a 250-lap modified race at Oswego. That's I'm really looking forward to it. I was telling Joe earlier in the week, I'm going to have a hard time trying not to find a ride for myself in one of those small block supers that day.
Are you going to find a sportsman ride, though, for Super Dirt Week? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'm still trying to wait and see exactly what all of my roles and responsibilities are going to be. I know that they're still waiting to see exactly which network provider is going to be covering all of the events for television as far as Super Dirt Week is concerned. So I may have some responsibilities on that end. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. The car I ran at Syracuse last year, Jason Simmons, sold about 2 weeks after the race.
And he's
pretty full with his son Tyler and Jeremy Pitcher and everybody else. So I may just have to stand up on the sky deck and take it all in.
Danny, last thing and most importantly, where can fans go buy tickets, of course, for some of these big events coming up at Oswego?
Well, I'll tell you what, you can get all the ticket information on OswegoSpeedway.com, but you'll have to call our box office for the Classic Weekend events. It's 315-342-0646. And again, all that information is on the OswegoSpeedway.com website. As far as anything related to Super Dirt Week, that's all superdirtweekonline.com, and they have a hotline for where you can purchase tickets through there also. And, of course, the Race of Champions website has all of the goodies and information on the big ROC weekend coming up. So we hope everybody goes out and gets your tickets for all three shows.
Well, Danny, I will definitely see you Race of Champions weekend, and I'm hoping to make it up for at least Saturday of Classic Weekend as well. Thank you for the time this morning. Best of luck. Hopefully it's not any of the weather is a repeat of this weekend. Hopefully it's like last weekend, and we get all these shows in. Good luck.
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right, Danny Kapuscinski from the Oswego Speedway, and again, OswegoSpeedway.com for all the information as they've got a big one. And they wrap up their regular season this Saturday night. They got a big points chase in the Super Modifieds as well, too. When we get back, we'll talk a little more modified racing. Ryan Preece, also a driver in the Xfinity Series, is going to join us as he'll be at Lancaster Speedway this Saturday night, and we'll see if he's dried out for Mid-Ohio yesterday. That's coming up next here on Fast Track on WGR. .35 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Been listening to, even for me, a lot of Oasis lately. A lot of What's the Story, Morning Glory. Been that the 3-disc reissue that came out last year. I've been listening to that a lot lately. It was the 20th anniversary of their big concert in England, in Nebworth. So there's been a lot of talk about that. So I've just been into this era of Oasis like all week, more so than usual. And actually, their third album, Be Here Now, is getting re-released in October with another big 3-disc to do with, you know, bonus live cuts and demos. And I'm sure none of you care what I'm talking about right now, but that's okay. 11:35 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All of the major racing series are off this weekend. The Cup Series is back in action next weekend at Bristol. NHRA is off this weekend. They'll be in Brainerd, Minnesota next weekend. IndyCar off. They're headed to Pocono next weekend, and they just announced, actually, that they've got a 2-year agreement with Pocono as well, too, starting for 2017. So IndyCar will be remaining at Pocono, and Formula One is off their month-long summer break here. They're back in action the final week of August for the Belgian Grand Prix. All the major touring series off this weekend. When the Truck Series heads to Bristol this week, by the way, keep your eyes on a former guest of this show that'll be in the field, and that is Stuart Friesen. He's going to make his pavement debut in the Truck Series this week at Bristol with the Hallmar International Racing Team. Stu did some testing this week at the Motor Mile Raceway down in Virginia to get him some more laps in a truck, and more importantly, on pavement in a truck. So it sounds like Stuart is going to attempt to qualify for the race at Bristol, which is Wednesday night for the Bristol Truck Race. So that'll be cool to see Stuart on pavement. I think actually Stewart's last start on pavement actually might be the Race of Champions at Oswego a couple of years ago when he drove in the Modified 200. That might be his last start on pavement. He's also run some late model and TQ midgets on pavement at Lancaster when he was growing up, but nothing really since then. He's obviously been very busy with the dirt modified stuff. Speaking of modified racing, this Saturday night at Lancaster Speedway is the Tommy Drewer Tony Jankowiak Memorial 110. And joining us right now on the AT&T hotline is NASCAR Xfinity Series driver Ryan Preece, who will be in that field on Saturday. Ryan, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hey, man, how's it going? How you doing?
Doing well. First off, though, I got to ask you, have you dried out for Mid-Ohio yesterday?
No. Actually, I just unloaded all my clothes, and they were definitely wet and smelled pretty bad from all the moisture. But, you know, it was almost going to be a good day, and just can't seem to find that lucky horseshoe.
Have you ever raced in wet weather like that before? That's what I want to know.
No.
No?
Never. Never did I. You know, I kept telling everybody how excited I would be because, you know, I really didn't know what to expect. But I knew I'd have fun, and in the end, I was having a good time. It definitely seems like it's a great equalizer, where you know, horsepower and everything, really you can't use it. So so you really got to drive and muscle around. So that was the big thing, and you know, throttle control was a huge thing too. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. That's for sure.
Yeah, you were up running in the top five for a good first half of the race. You definitely got a lot of attention on the TV broadcast yesterday. And it just, obviously, this thing with the wet weather like that, that's just the ultimate wild card. And it didn't take much for anybody to get off track yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. You know, and then when the track started to dry out, you could definitely see horsepower started to come back in. And all I could think was, man, you know, I hope it rains again. And then it started raining, and you know, we started going back forward. I think we were up to sixth, and then we ended up sliding off the track. I really feel that there must have been some sort of oil on the track somewhere. It just seemed really, really slippery compared to the first half of the race. But,
yeah,
you know, all in all, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're right. They showed it on TV, actually, Ryan. There was a big, I don't know, I don't remember what part of the racetrack it was, but you know how oil gets when it mixes with water and it turns colors almost like soapy water. And that's what it looked like. They showed one part of the racetrack. It was just that rainbowy colored sheen on the racetrack. So, yeah, there was some oil out there, at least from what they showed on TV yesterday. You're about two-thirds of the way through your first full season of the Xfinity Series. Just how have things been going with that and your JD Motorsports team?
It's been getting better and better. You know, just we can't seem to finish off the races. We just, you know, have unfortunate things happen, or just being at the wrong place at the wrong time, or whatever it may be. You know, I was just looking back and, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but we would have had three top tens in the last four races if things would have played out the way they needed to play out. It's just unfortunate, and you know, to be doing that with what Johnny and what we have compared to what I would say, you know, a top tier team, you know, a fully backed manufactured team. You know, it's really good to see what Johnny Davis can do with all this stuff. And, you know, we understand with what we can do, we can't go out there and tear bodies up and blow motors up. That really hurts the program. So we gotta be a little cautious, but, you know, I'm happy and just trying to keep gaining experience, and I'm ready to go to Bristol. I definitely have high expectations.
Yeah, short track, obviously, that's right in your wheelhouse with your modified background. What is the biggest challenge? I don't know if you've run there in a stock car before. I know you've run there in a modified, of course. What is the biggest challenge besides just being tight corners? But for a driver, how challenging is driving at Bristol Motor Speedway?
In the modified, it's, I don't know. I mean, I've had good cars there, and I've had bad cars. Last year we were fortunate. We won the race in the modified, and it was really good. You know, earlier this year we went there with the Xfinity Series, and we struggled. We just couldn't turn. You know, I heard they put a grip compound down on the bottom lane, so I'm interested to see how that's going to play out and see how the racing's going to turn out to be. You know, I feel like we're going to go there this time around and have a pretty good race car, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. So, but as far as the struggles, you know, you just got to be up on it. You got to be searching for grip whenever the bottom lane will rubber up, and you got to move up. And the closer you can get to the wall without hitting it, the faster you're going to be.
Ryan, of course, a lot of talk this year with the domination of the Joe Gibbs cars, and whenever Kyle Busch decides to show up, do you guys, when you see that 18 car come up on you, do you just say, oh, not again, there's Kyle again looking to get by us on the racetrack?
Well, their cars are, you know, their engineering staff and everybody over there, you know, whether it comes to body hanging and everything involved, obviously they got their program together. You know, because, I mean, you look at it, their cars are qualifying 1, 2, 3 every single week. You know, it just goes to show you how strong those JGR cars really are. You know, it's just right now they're on top, and they know exactly what they have compared to a lot of other people. So it's just, it's a game of trying to play catch up. It's like that in everything. I'm sure you see that in the dirt modifieds, the modified dirt late models. You know, everywhere you go, you're always going to have that person that finds that edge for a year or two, and then you know, it seems where everybody else catches up. So we'll see as the year goes on, and see if everybody can start catching up.
Xfinity Series driver Ryan Preece joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Well, of course, after you get out of Bristol, you're coming to our neck of the woods this Saturday, Lancaster Speedway, for the Tommy Drewer, Tony Jankowiak Memorial Modified 110. And I'll tell you what, Ryan, race fans are excited here to see you come to Lancaster. We put it up on the track's Facebook page, and that post took off virally. So there's a lot of people looking forward to see you come race a Modified this Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. You know, I love racing Modifieds. At the upstate New York area, I never really went out of, other than Spencer, Chemung, and Oswego, I never went to Lancaster, so really looking forward to that. You know, it's going to be a good time. I got to thank Joe for hooking me up with this ride, you know, we're definitely excited. You know, the ROC series is always a good series. Joe's been doing a great job with it. I love the four-wide salute they do on the parade lap, and, you know, it's cool to be a part of.
I don't know how much you're familiar with Lancaster, but from people you talk to, what kind of race do you expect, and what do you think of the track from what you know about it?
You know, I've watched some YouTube videos just to check it out, and as far as how the race is going to go, it's a modified race, so it can play in all different sorts of ways, but I got to figure out which tire compound they're running, and that'll kind of determine the way we need to race the race, because if it's on a 50, an M20 and an M15, you know, the tires are going to be really soft and they might go away quick, but if it's on an M30 and M45, you seem to be able to push those a little bit harder. You just got to kind of be conscious of not spinning them.
Yeah, especially with the ROC, a lot of the series are going to more of that little bit harder compound tire, you know, to get a little more run out of it. You as a driver, do you prefer the real sticky tires that don't last very long, or do you prefer a set that you can run on a little bit longer with?
I like the ones where you can run a little bit longer with, because it comes more down to really driving the car more than just kind of sitting back riding and kind of waiting for the last 80 laps and then hoping that your car is still good. You know, the soft tires are all well and good. You know, I think they're good if you can put it on as a change tire. But as far as trying to race on a 100-lap race with a really soft, gooey tire, it doesn't really work out well. So, you know, there's all different ways you could do it. But, you know, that's I've always been good with pit stop races where you can throw tires on and race hard. When it comes to the last thing and kind of saving yourself, I think this Xfinity series is kind of helped me with that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as just the radial tire, you can't really spin them. You got to keep them straight. So that's one thing I feel like it's going to help me in a modified when we do those races. But we'll just have to see here this Saturday.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate the time this morning. Oh, by the way, I just got a text. It's M30s on the left and 45s on the right.
Good deal. So I'm excited.
Well, we're going to be looking forward to seeing you Saturday at Lancaster. Good luck at Bristol as well. And we'll see you this weekend up here in Western New York.
Yes, sir. I'll see you there. Thank you very much.
All right. Ryan Preece, Xfinity Series driver for JD Motorsports. And again, he's going to be at Lancaster Speedway on Saturday for the Tommy Drewer, Tony Jankowiak Memorial Modified 110 for the Race of Champions Modified Series. Of course, everybody will be gunning for Patrick Emmerling, who's been unstoppable this year. 10 wins overall, 5 in the Modifieds, 4 Lancaster Sportsman wins, and picked up the George Decker Memorial at Holland. Also, of course, you got the hot shoe Chuck Hosfeld, who is obviously equally as good, and a lot of top talent on the Race of Champions Modified Series. They're all going to be going for it. Mike Leedy, Darren Shearer, Jimmy Zacharias, George Gordon, Will Thomas. Will's going to be up there too, so it's going to be a good stacked field this Saturday night at Lancaster. We get back, we'll sort of do the local racing roundup. There's not much to talk about, but we'll make it work, and if you want to get in a phone call, it might be your best opportunity here, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we get back to wrap up Fast Track here on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
Well, like I said, and like you probably know as well too, it's been a little wet around here this weekend, so not a lot of racing. In fact, only one show that I can tell got in this weekend. That was Friday night, Lancaster National Dragway. Big night for Joe Masullo. He won both top 8 and top 18 as rear engine dragster. Congrats to Joe. Second driver this year at Lancaster to win two classes in one night. Jim Rubino got the Buffalo Superchargers win. Ryan Ricketson in Mod ET. And Mike Nearhoof won bikes and sleds for the second week in a row. And Ken Wishman got the win in Street ET. Everybody else on Friday, Freedom Motorsports Park, Ransomville got rained out. Saturday, same story. Rainouts at Lancaster, Holland, Genesee, State Line, and Merrittville. Wyoming County all got rained out last night, too, so not a good weekend. Looking for racing today, though, you got a couple options. Of course, Humberstone Speedway in Port Colborne. They've got their full five-division program tonight at 6:30. Sportsman, late model, street stocks, Pro 4 trucks, mini stocks. And the Erie Speedway, just across the border in Erie, Pennsylvania, they got a big show tonight because the World of Outlaw late models come to town. Josh Richards and Daryl Lanigan and all the big names from the World of Outlaw late models roll into town, and this could be a big night for the local guys too, whether it's going to be one of the Blairs, Max or Robbie Blair, or a guy like Greg Oaks or Dave Hess. Could be a local guy stealing the win tonight at Erie Speedway. They've also got E-Modifieds on the race card tonight as well too, and gates open. Actually, what time do gates open at 5 o'clock? Racing starts at 7 tonight at Erie Speedway for the World of Outlaw late models just across the border in Hammett, Pennsylvania, if you're looking for something to do tonight. Tough week in the world of motorsports. We got another sobering reminder this week on just how dangerous this sport is when we found out Monday morning that Brian Clausen had passed away from injuries he suffered about a week ago in a dirt sprint car race. In Belleville, Kansas, Brian hit a wall, car was rolling over, and then was struck by another car, and he sadly succumbed to his injuries. That was announced Monday morning. Brian was an incredible talent, not only on dirt and sprint and midget car racing. He also spent time in the what is the Xfinity Series and in IndyCar racing. And this year was doing something incredible. He was attempting to run 200 races in one year. Including running the Indianapolis 500, which he did, and then later that day jumped into a sprint car and won a feature just after running the Indianapolis 500. That's how dedicated a racer he was, and a talented one at that. He only got to 116 of those 200 starts that he had hoped to do, which he would have done sometime in November. So a sad tragedy this week in the world of motorsports. Our thoughts are with Brian, his fiance, and their family at this time. It's been a interesting week, to say the least, though, to remember Brian. This also happens to be the weekend of the Knoxville Nationals, which is one of the biggest sprint car races in America. And the outpouring of support for the Clausens has been short of amazing. On Thursday night, Ricky Stenhouse, the Cup Series driver, of course, who was very good friends with Brian Clausen, took Brian's sprint car out and paced the field on Thursday night before the A-Main. Also, Kyle Larson has been showing support. Rico Abreu, Ricky Stenhouse's girlfriend, Danica Patrick, she was there at Knoxville and actually sold T-shirts out of Brian's merchandise trailer while she was at the track, too, with Ricky. They had a charity auction to raise money, and Tony Stewart bought Brian's helmet, favorite helmet, for $32,000, and then gave the helmet back to the Clausen family. The 50-50 last night at Knoxville was $20,000, and the winner gave it back to the Clausen family. So it's been a great reminder of just how close-knit and a strong a bond the racing community anywhere in North America can be, and a lot of outpouring of support for the Clausen family. But again, just another sobering reminder that this is still a very dangerous sport, no matter all the safety initiatives and things we can do to try and make drivers safer. There is still that slim possibility that something bad can happen behind the wheel of one of these vehicles. And but it's good to see the support for the Clausen family at this tough time. You see a lot of decals with the initials BC on them. I'm sure you'll see them this weekend at Bristol on the Cup cars. That is a tribute to Brian Clausen, and he will be missed. And it would have been a shame. It's a shame that he won't be able to get to those 200 races. But I know in his honor, there's a bit of a social media campaign that at any time a race car driver wins a race, they want you to tweet the hashtag parked it, which was Brian's kind of thing whenever he won a race, you know, hashtag parked it into victory lane. They want to get to 200 of those tweets from race car drivers across the country, and I know that count has already started, so kind of a neat thing they're doing in Brian's honor. With that, we'll say good day to you. We'll be back next weekend. Recap of Bristol weekend, of course. We'll recap the Tommy and Tony race at Lancaster and get you geared up for a big couple of weeks here in the racing world, as we got a lot of big dates coming up as we get closer to Labor Day weekend and wrap up our final few weeks of the program here on WGR as well, too. So until then, we'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.